The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, or you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of RIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani. He's going to talk about the character of Imam As-Sadiq, alayhi salam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I may be speaking for myself, but I feel like many times you and I, we may have heard bits and pieces about the life of Imam Sadiq. We've heard some of the contributions of Imam Sadiq, but we might not have that clear overall picture of what it is the Imam did and who he was. So now we look a little bit at the life of our Imam. So what we see is that our Imam, he was our Imam for 34 years. During this time, he began his imamate in the time of one of the toughest of the tawaghit, Hisham bin Abdul Malik. He was a law and order tawghut. He was terrible, legendary, powerful. But you see, after Hisham is the decline of Bani Umayyah. Remember that Imam Sadiq has been there in the time of Imam Sajjad and also in the time of Imam Baqir. He's seen the blood, sweat, and tears of those imams, the quiet work which would lay the foundations for him to take it as far as he could. So that imam, now that Bani Umayyah has become weakened, it was time to spread the ulum of Ahlul Bayt, and the imam did it. Get Islam out there, make people know what true Islam is, remove, cleanse the hearts of people from deviant Islam, prepare the grounds for the coming of the imam. But he didn't only do that. The other thing that he did was to work on extending, training, and doing tarbiyah of that secret group. Those people who would be ready, because the prediction of the Ahlul Bayt was that the time of Bani Umayyah had come to an end. They had gone too far. There were a lot of factors that came together, that spread of knowledge, the growth of that secret underground organization, the wretchedness of the people, that desire for good, the hatred of Bani Umayyah, the love of the family of the Prophet, all of these things came together that if the believers were able to do their responsibility, we could have seen that qiyam. The plan of the Ahlul Bayt was that around the time of the fall of Bani Umayyah, the Imam was going to lead a military campaign through his Shia. The Shia were going to come from Khorasan, from Iraq, from Morocco, from other places in the world. They would gather in Medina and the Imam would march on Sham and he would take the Taghut down and put up the flag of Rasulullah. That was the initial plan. But brothers and sisters, a test happened. Allah throws curveballs. The Shia have to be ready for those curveballs, those tests. What happened? You see, at the time where the Shia were preparing, there was another group that was also preparing, the Abbasids. The Abbasids were also Bani Hashim. The Abbasids had started their political movement during the time of Hisham, but they took on the military side later. They were moving, and remember, the claims of the Abbasids were also Ar-Ridha min Ali Muhammad. They were calling the people, we're going to go for that person. They wouldn't mention who it's going to be from the family of the Prophet. He needs to lead. And they were successful. And their claims, the people were fooled. They were so tired of oppression. You see, Imam, the latter part of Imam Sadiq's imamate was even more of a test than the first part. The rulers, the tawaghit who were alive in the second part, the first Abbasid Khalifa, those, it were two brothers. One of them was named As-Safah. This blood, do you want to talk about shedding of blood? And the other one is Mansur Dawaniqi. And these individuals, how cruel they were, how wicked these individuals were. But the test came for the Shia. You see, what happened was we were supposed to do our qiyam. We're supposed to rise. But when the Abbasids came into power, we were all revolutionaries. We kind of knew each other, knew who was effective. They knew the Shia. They knew the tactics of the Shia. I'll give you an example. Some people think of Imam Sadiq as an academic. The University of Imam Sadiq, he was spreading knowledge. He wasn't fighting. No, this was jihad, which was ilmi. That's why you see Mansur, he wouldn't let Imam Sadiq teach. There wasn't, he's an academic, he's having debate. No, Mansur wouldn't let that. They knew the techniques of the Shia. And now resisting, when they know your techniques and they know who you are, then to be ready is a little difficult. And unfortunately, the Shia were not able to do their responsibility. And you and I have learned a general principle. Whenever you see an imam, it could be Imam Sadiq, it could be Imam Kadhim, it could be another imam, outwardly you don't see victory, it always goes back to the Shia. When they do their responsibility, the imam is victorious on the outside. When they don't, the imam is poisoned, the imam is killed, the imam is martyred. Islam doesn't have that external victory. Now to our lesson, as we prepare for the coming of the imam. What was the difference between those Shia and the Shia of Imam Khomeini? Imam Khomeini is a student of the imam. Why was he victorious? What was different? You see, the Shia of Imam Khomeini are the gold standard for us. People like Qasim Soleimani and so many others who were in the time when they were going to prison, in the time when they were captured, in the time before the victory, after that, keeping the victory alive, those individuals. So that special man, the contributions of Imam Khomeini were more like the contributions of anbiya than they are ulama. And then after that, those individuals who stood with the imam, who resisted with the imam. I want to give you one story. The leader once was marveling at the character of Imam Khomeini. Marveling. Because you see, he lived during that time. You and I, we've heard a lot of things of Imam Khomeini. The leader experienced them. And he was talking about it. He said, he was talking about one of the victories that had happened. The victory that had happened was a victory which was called the Battle for the Liberation of Khorramshahr. And the leader explained. He said that normally, according to military doctrine, if you want to liberate an area, if you want to attack, you have to have three times the strength, the manpower, the force of the place that you want to get. Those guys are entrenched. They know the terrain. You want to attack, you want to liberate, you have to have three times the ability of the enemy. He said that we weren't even equal. He said, if you looked at our firepower, we weren't half. We weren't a third. And yet, Imam Khomeini gave that command that you must liberate Khorramshahr. He said, he explained something else too. A leader, a wise person, won't give a command if he knows it's not going to be obeyed. A wise leader won't say, well, go over and do this task that he knows nobody can do it. It's a failure. We look weak. Imam Khomeini believed in the Shia so much he could give that command. We ask Allah to help us to become those Shia of our Imam so that we can be counted on for those heavy tasks.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen. Thank you.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.